Thank you, Father, for this brand new day you have made just for us to gather together to think about you and to worship you. And Father, thank you for having created us and given us each other in this human family and in the church. Thank you always for being us in all our joys and sorrows, and for our comfort in our sadness. And thank you for your companionship in our loneliness. Thank you for yesterday and today and tomorrow, and for the whole of our lives. Thank you for friends, for health, and for your grace, and more than anything else, and thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who showed us love, grace, and glory. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit in our soul for the gift of salvation. May your name continue to be lifted up throughout our worship and each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over and over again, we forget this most important thing in our Christian walk. And this one thing is far above all things that we have learned and experienced. And this one thing is above all theology and above all practices. Even if we may think we have grasped enough of the scripture and the practiced what we have learned from the scripture, if we miss this one thing, we miss everything. What is this most important thing? Let me say up front, it is loving Jesus. Loving Jesus is the most important thing in the Christian walk. Why am I saying this? And we'll find answers from the Gospel of John 14 today. If you will, would you please turn your Bible with me to Gospel of John 14. We are going to read verses 15 through 21. And here is the word of God. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. Let's read verse 23 to 25. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." It looks like there are many things that are hinged upon loving Jesus according to this portion of the Bible. Verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And verse 23, Jesus said again, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words." So I think the first principle Jesus is teaching this morning is loving Jesus affects obedience. Loving Jesus affects obedience. Let's think about love. If you love someone, There are at least three things I can think of that should be evident in you. The first thing is your desire for that person you love. If you would look forward to any opportunity to be with that person you love, that is what it means to desire that person. Do you have that person in your life? If you don't, I don't think you have ever been fall in love with anyone yet. But if you really love that person, you desire any opportunity, any time, any event together with that person. You desire that person from the bottom of your heart. And if you love someone, the second thing that is evident in you, that should be evident in you, is you take delight in that person. You take your joy in that person's presence and character and even look. You know, whatever that person brings to you, you take delight in that person. You simply be enjoying that person that you love. And there could be another thing. The third thing that might happen to you if you love someone is you treasure that person you love. You know, what it means you treasure that person you love? It means you would not exchange your love with anyone or anything else in the world. You'd live for that person and you'd die for that person. And that is what it means you treasure the person you love. So desire and take delight and treasure. Those are three words that you would bring yourself into that person when you love that person. You know, whatever you are thinking about this person you love, wake up now from your daydream. If you love Jesus, Jesus is the person you desire him the most. And he's the person in whom you would take your utmost delight in him, such that you'd always think about him and cherish him in your heart. And Jesus is the person you treasure above all people and all things in the world. And if you have Jesus in you and with you, you'd be completely satisfied. You know, that's what it means, loving Jesus. So love is such a powerful thing. If you love Jesus, you would do what he says very easily and naturally. That's why loving Jesus affects obedience. If obedience is hard, keeping his commandments are not easy, we need to think about whether we truly love Jesus or not. But if you love Jesus, keeping commandments are not a difficult thing to do at all. Loving Jesus affects obedience, and your obedience to his words is a joy as you love him. And you do more when you love Jesus. But verse 21 says the opposite, actually, the reverse of verse 16. It says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So this is a corollary to this first principle. Loving Jesus affects obedience, but corollary to this one is your obedience manifests your love of Jesus. So it is obvious, isn't it? Your obedience to Jesus' commandments is a mere outward action that reveals your love for him in your heart. So you want to do what he says because you love him so much. And it is now your joy to act upon his commandment because you love him so much. So if you relate these two propositions, loving Jesus affects obedience and obedience manifests your love of Jesus, we can say that loving Jesus and keeping his commandments are not separable. If you love Jesus, you obey, and if you obey, you love. Those two things are like two sides of the coin. It cannot be separated from each other. So, loving Jesus is not a vague concept. It has a very concrete context, and the context is obeying His commandments and keeping His commandments. But what are the commandments of Jesus that Jesus had in mind, especially in the Gospel of John? What did Jesus say about His commandments? You may think of His commandment as our ethical and moral obligation as a Christian. And we may equate Jesus' commandments with something like the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, which are essential, moral and ethical obligation to God and the people, such as observing the Sabbath and shunning away from idol worship and keeping our moral and ethical obligations to our parents, neighbors, and the society at large. We tend to think about commandments with this Old Testament Ten Commandments. I'm not discounting that. I believe keeping Ten Commandments are still valid and a good barometer for our moral and ethical living. I also believe that we should keep the Ten Commandments even in the New Testament era as a guidance of God. But however, I think Jesus is talking about a different dimension this morning when He talks about asks us to keep His commandments. So what are His commandments? We need to understand what Jesus meant in the context of the Gospel of John. So what is this love for Jesus that gives rise to keeping the commandments of Jesus? Let us conduct a short survey of Jesus' commandments in the Gospel of John. What are the commands? What are the imperatives throughout the Gospel of John? Jesus said, the first commandment is receive me. John 1:12. Jesus demands us to receive Him. And then He said, follow me. 1:43. And then Jesus said, believe in the light, and He is the light. And Jesus said, believe in God, and believe me, John 14:11. And Jesus said also, abide in me, and ask whatever you wish, and abide in my love, and receive the Holy Spirit. So if we look at all these commandments, in a nutshell, when Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus was thinking about us to receive Him, believe Him, and ask Him and abide in Him as an ongoing reality. So continue to receive Him, continue to believe in Him, and continue to ask Him, continue to abide in Him. That's what Jesus meant when Jesus asked us to keep His commandments. It's very fundamental. It's not about external action or practice, but more internal. Internally, continue to allow Him to have commune with us, have fellowship with us, remember Him all the time. So if I paraphrase the word of Jesus as if Jesus is saying to us, it'll be like this. If you love me, if you desire me, if you take delight in me and treasure me, then you will receive me, believe me, and abide in me. And also, reversely speaking, it will be like, if you receive me, believe me, and abide in me, and you are truly loving me, desiring me, and taking delight in me and treasuring me. So Jesus is talking about on a relational dimension. That's what Jesus meant, commandments, by, continue to receive and believe and ask and abide in Him, we are fulfilling His commandment. I think, you know, today we sing, you know, many songs about love of Jesus, love of God. God loves, Jesus loves you. That's a universal principle. But the most important thing for us is how we respond to His love. Jesus demands us to love Him. Love Him. Apostle Paul once said, to live is Christ. You know, Philippians 1:21. He didn't say, to live is for Christ. He didn't say, to live is for Christ, but he said, to live is Christ. To live is Christ is more fundamental than to live for Christ. It means, to live Christ means to love Him at the core of our heart and mind and spirit, desiring Him, cherishing Him, and trusting Him, and treasuring Him. You know, if we love Jesus this way, we certainly live for Him. So loving Jesus is so essential. And I believe the most important thing in the Christian walk. If we miss anything else, that's fine. But if we miss loving Jesus, I believe we miss all. But there is more. Let us look at verses 15 through 16. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. So Jesus is connecting, loving him, therefore we keep his commandments, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is the second principle I'd like to share this morning. Loving Jesus assures the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to experience the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be enabled by the Holy Spirit? Do you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? And the answer, according to Jesus, is love Him. Begin to love Him more and more. And then Jesus promised the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, we all know the difference our life can make when Holy Spirit is with us. You know, according to Jesus, the promise of the Holy Spirit has to do with loving Him. Jesus promised that His Father will give us the Holy Spirit who will be with us forever. And here, Jesus does not make a general statement, but a very specific promise to those who love Him, thus keep His commandments. You know, we may know the theological truth of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a general truth, biblical truth to the Christians who believe in Jesus. We know in our mind who Holy Spirit is theologically. He is the third person of God. He is another helper, just like Jesus. And He is the truth. He's the spirit of the truth. We all know that in our head knowledge. But is Holy Spirit real in your life or not? And if Holy Spirit is not real in your life, it may be because your love for Jesus is not there. So what makes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit evident and real in your Christian walk is your love of Jesus, as Jesus promised of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to those who love Him. Let's think about Holy Spirit for a while. Why Holy Spirit is so important in the Christian walk. Holy Spirit, in this verse 16, another helper. And the helper in the Greek word is parakletos. Parakletos, which is translated as helper in this particular Bible. And some other Bible translate as advocate. you know, things like that. Actually, what is helper? You know, when I think of helper, we tend to think some servant helps me, that kind of connotation. But actually, helper is God's title in the Old Testament. Psalm 54:4, the psalmist prays this way, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul." So the helper is actually have a connotation of divine person of God. Paracletos, helper, is a person called in to give witness in a law court in someone's favor. He might be an advocate called in to plead the cause of someone under a charge which would issue in serious penalty. And he might be an expert called in to give advice in some difficult situation. And he might be a person called in when, for example, a company of soldiers were depressed and dispirited to put new courage into their minds and hearts. So these are the meaning of paracletos. And New American Standard Bible simply translate that as helper. It's so essential being in sustaining our life, especially when we need him. He will be the solution for many problems that we face. So always a paracletos is someone called in to help in time of trouble or need. And the Holy Spirit takes away our inadequacies and enables us to cope with life. And he's an enabler who brings victory over the accuser. And he's the helper who gives us conviction that we are a child of God. And he's the presence of God, because his name is Holy Spirit, that sanctifies us, you know, prompt us to live a holy life with his power. So that's the function of the Holy Spirit, so essential for Christian work. We're not just saved, but we are called to be holy, and the Holy Spirit is the agent who helps, moment by moment. So let us look at verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So if someone can teach us all things, especially the word of Jesus, to remember, that would be so great, isn't it? And that teacher is the Holy Spirit. We can have many teachers in our life, but the teacher that is so essential and important is the Holy Spirit himself. Our life will be so different if the Holy Spirit not only indwells us, but also teaches us all the words of Jesus. And Jesus promises to those who love him will get this fantastic helper who comes in his name, sent by the Father. So loving Jesus assures the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you really want to experience the Holy Spirit, love Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying, basically. He will give him as a gift, life, guide, and the most important teacher of all. So the lover of Jesus is the Son of God, sanctified and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And holiness is nothing but the presence of Holy Spirit in us, and also revelation of your love of Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Do you really desire the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? Then love Jesus. Now let us look at verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." This verse is so important. Jesus is basically saying, loving Jesus invites a heavenly dwelling on earth. Loving Jesus invites a heavenly dwelling on earth. You know, when you love Jesus, the Father wants to come to near you. That's what basically Jesus is saying to you. And he would make his heavenly dwelling in us when you love him. So loving Jesus makes God to be intimate with you. You know, are you longing for intimacy with God? It begins with loving Jesus. If you love Jesus, God wants to come near you. And he, according to Jesus, God wants to bring heavenly abode, heavenly dwelling in you when you love Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Intimacy with God is nothing but loving Jesus. So many things are at stake with loving Jesus. Jesus once promised that he would go and prepare a place for his disciples in John 14:2. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, and if you do not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. The dwelling place in this verse, and it's the same word as our abode in verse 23. This is basically our heavenly home, which has been prepared by Jesus when he ascended into heaven. This is our ultimate destination for all those who believe in Jesus. The most secure and protected place that cannot be compared with anything else. This is heavenly abode prepared for each and everyone who believes in him, in Jesus. So we have a longing to go to heaven one day and rest. That's what Jesus has prepared for us already. But Jesus is saying this ultimate place in heaven we are longing so much can come to those who love him while we are living. So Jesus is saying in verse 23, if I paraphrase, if you love me and keep my commandments, my Father and me, I will come and be that dwelling for you and in you. So he's saying basically, earth turns to heaven in you when you love me and keep my commandments. And you will be my heavenly sanctuary on earth when you love me. Jesus once said in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you or in your midst. You know, people wonder what he meant. How come kingdom of God is in us, in our midst? You know, when you love him, that's the promise of Jesus. He will bring heavenly dwelling in us so that we live heaven. We're not just waiting for heaven to come, but heaven already came down and heaven is in us. So to those who love Jesus, heaven is so natural because heaven has come down to them. They live in heavenly reality, although they live on earth. And as they walk on earth, the heaven moves with them, and the love of Jesus reveals the glory of heaven on earth. So many things are at stake with loving Jesus. You know, when we love Jesus by desiring him and taking delight in his beauty and in his glory and treasuring him above all things and all people, we are fueled to keep commandments. And we believe him, we trust him and receive him and abide in him. So loving Jesus affects obedience. And then Holy Spirit will come and be with us forever, guiding us with the truth and teaching us to know the word of Jesus. So loving Jesus assures the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then heavenly dwelling place will come down on earth to those who love him. The Father and the Son make their holy habitat in you when you love Jesus. And when you love Jesus, you live heaven on earth. When you love Jesus, you live in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is to set up kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And it is realized through you who love him, love Jesus. So loving Jesus invites a heavenly dwelling place on earth. You know, when heaven, you know, heavenly dwellings live in us, we emanate the glory of God. Because that's what it means, you know, dwelling place in heaven, glory. We continue to emanate the glory of God when we love Jesus. So it all begins with loving Jesus. Loving Jesus is loving him more than your life. You know, that means loving him more than you and your family, so that he becomes your Lord of life. And loving him is more than your life also means you love him more than your money, so that he becomes your treasure. You'd give away your money to get Jesus. That's what it means, treasure him more than anything else when you love him. And loving Jesus is loving more than your life also means you love him more than your entertainments, so that he becomes your source of joy and delight. Whatever the entertainment, whatever sports, whatever things that brings you joy, you put above all those things. And when you love him, you will get joy and you will take delight in Jesus Christ, so that you don't want to actually, you know, do those things. You know, what entertaining you is no longer entertaining you compared to the joy and delight that you take from Jesus when you love him. So loving Jesus, you know, with all heart and your soul and your might, and experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the intimacy with the Lord are all the gifts when you love him, love Jesus, more than, you know, us and our life. Let us pray. Jesus, we just want to thank you for the words that you spoke. And, you know, it's such a simple truth, and yet so profound and so impacting. Thank you that you loved us even while we are yet sinners. And Lord Jesus, we want to love you more. We want to love more than ourselves and our family. We want to love you more than the treasures of the world. We want to love you more than all the entertainments that make us entertained. We want to cherish you, and desire you, and take delight in you. And thank you for teaching us the most important thing in our Christian walk. We humbly present ourselves to you. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought. You found.
Lord Jesus, we behold your beauty. Even the most beautiful things that we see in this world cannot be compared to the beauty that you display. Your grace and your glory, your kindness, your favor, and your excellence. We look to you and cherish you, truly put you above all else, above all other names in this world, on earth and in heaven. Your name is so beautiful, so wonderful, so powerful. Help us to truly cherish you as the most important person in our life, to love you more. Holy Spirit, help us to trigger love of Jesus from each one of us. May the glory of Father be displayed through us as we love Jesus with all our heart and mind and our soul and our strength. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us ever. Amen. You may be seated. Receive communion. I don't know if teachers are available. Bring them in. Let me read Matthew 26, verse 26 to 30. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken up a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is the ordinance that Jesus instituted himself. He wants us to remember him, you know, what he has done for our life. But also, he gives us hope of the future. When his kingdom comes, he will lavish another table like this so that all his believers will gather in his table to dine with him. So it is a foretaste of the feast in heaven as we receive this communion this morning. Before we begin, let us examine our heart. Would you close your eye for the moment and examine yourself before you eat of this bread and drink of the cup? Psalm 103, "The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Father, we thank you for inviting us to this foretaste of heavenly table so that we would remember your Son Jesus, his sacrifice and his kindness lavished on each one of us. Father, we define ourselves as sinners before you. There's no other description that fits who we are as we confess our sins before you. But as we confess our sins from the bottom of our heart, we know that the grace, your grace, is greater and above all who we are by nature. We thank you for the grace that shone through your Son Jesus from heaven, so that we would have a new life under the new covenant Jesus made, each one of us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please line up those who believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can participate in this communion. This bread symbolizes the body of Jesus broken on the cross, and this cup symbolizes the blood shed for you to give us the gift of forgiveness. You may take it. Father, we thank you that we have this privilege to be able to participate in this communion of your Son. And whatever things of the past, they are the things of the past. We are a new creation, even in this morning, as we express our faith in Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. May our day, as we move out of this place, be filled with the love of Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit and the protection of the Father who is in heaven. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.